أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're going to do Surah Al-Mujadilah today, which is Surah number 58. In essence, in Quran City, we're going to do Woman's Corner. If you look at Woman's Corner, there are four chapters or four surah in it. You've got Nisa, Mujadilah, Mumtahana, and Maryam. The reason I picked Mujadilah is because it's, you'll see why, I'll go through it with you. But we will do all four before we go somewhere else. And some of you had actually asked me to do Woman's Corner. I'm not quite sure why, but I've taken the majority view here. So 22 ayat. Mujadilah is a Madani surah. So you're looking at domestic issues. You're looking at quite a lot of things that are going in. It's not like the Makki surahs, which are based on Usul, or which are based on Tawheed, Nabuwa, and Qiyama. I'm going to look at the focus first. So you have a woman, Mujadila in essence, actually means somebody who debated, who argued, who pleaded, and it's a woman. And it talks about Khawla bint Thalaba. And it's actually, the surah is named after her, the one who pleaded, or the one who debated, or the one who had a valid argument, not a negative one, but a positive one. And you find that a whole law is changed. So divinity's response to the plea of a woman, that's your focus. There's sort of a family and social issues which confronted this new Muslim community. It's all too well to believe. But then now when they come to Medina, there's a lot of things that are going on, and a lot of issues, domestic and otherwise, that have to be addressed. Hypocrisy is exposed. So you have probably the surah that talks about hypocrisy is also Surah Al-Munafiqun, but this one does too. And then you see how Hezbollah is successful. And because we only relate Hezbollah to Lebanon and their phenomenal party, we're not going into there. There's no politics. All I'm trying to say is Hezbollah means a party of Allah. So let's not change the way we see things. Benefits of recitation. It is shafa for illness. It's an ease to restlessness. It's like if you find that you are tormented from within and you can't handle that, then recite Surah Al-Mujadilah. If you find somebody is upset and you don't know how to help, then read it on water and give it to them. It's safety from jinn and men. If you recite Hadith and Mujadilah, then you'll never be subject to evil. Very often you find that you, human beings get, and as parents, we get upset, for example, when we think our children are not, I can't say what we think is right, because that's not right. We do not think that, we think there may be a better way that they could lead their life. Then read Mujadilah on water and give it to them. And there will be a sukoon within, a difference in understanding. And, you know, it's Quran, so it's got to work. The chapter is also known as Al-Zihar. Now, Zihar was a practice that was done by the Arabs. And basically it meant that a man could tell his wife that you are to me like my mother. Which means now I'm not going to have any relationships with you. We are divorced, but you cannot leave the house and be free to marry somebody else. So you can stay here and be my servant and my maid and look after the children, but I will have no relationships with you and we're done. But you're not free. So you're basically in a limbo. That's what Zihar was. And the Arabs used to do that. So a man could, you know, in his anger, he could virtually say, this is it. It wasn't a divorce where she could actually move out. That wasn't like that. You were still tied up, but you were... You didn't have any relationship with your husband. So you have, and I'm just going to give you a background of this surah. She goes to the prophet and she says, this cannot be fair. I've got young children. I'm neither here nor there. So there's a tension in the house. I can't live with him. He's done zihar with me. And it's an awful place to be. It's heinous. It's really horrible. And we see how divinity responds here. So this is the basis of it was Asbab al-Nuzul, the reason why this is being revealed. So I'm going to go ayah by ayah. Before that, we have six sections here. So section one, and I'll try and share some of this with you once the building is done, is where Zihar is condemned. That's ayah 1-4. You have a section on consequence of opposing divinity. Then you have manners of a majlis, really important for us. Section 4 is like private consultations with the Prophet, and you'll see them as we come along. I'll mention them. And Section 5 is what a hypocrite is. And finally, Section 6 is Hezbollah. So let's go verse by verse and take it one at a time. So now I'm looking at Section 1, which is Ayah 1 to 4. So it starts off by saying, قَدْ سَمِي اللَّهُ. Allah has heard. We all say, سَمِي اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ. So you can't forget that. Allah has listened, not even heard. He's listened. He's already listened. قَوْلَ الَّتِي, the word of she, who تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا. مُجَادِلَ comes from here. تُجَادِلُكَ, who pleaded, who debated, who argued, who wanted a solution. Fi zawjiha, about her husband. And zawj is woman or husband or wife. So about her spouse. Watashtaki, you know what tashtaki is. Shikayat, you all know in Urdu, right? To complain. So not only was she debating or pleading, she was complaining ilallah. Listen, you've got to be really careful here. With the Prophet, she pleaded. That means she argued. With Allah, watashtaki ilallah. She complained to Allah. There's a difference between coming to someone, putting a case and saying, this is what happened. But with Allah, she's complaining. Watashtaki ilallah. Wallahu yasma'u tahawarakuma. And Allah heard her conversation. Hiwar is a conversation. So Allah has heard all her, you know, all the reasons she gave, all her conversations. So I'm going to take these out. Inna Allah sami'un basir. Allah is sami' and Allah is basir. So this starts off with probably a domestic dispute that happens. It gets really extreme. And he says, I am treating you. You are like my mother. That's it. So she comes to the Prophet and she said, how can this be fair? Now remember, this was done all the time. This wasn't something that only happened in her household. The Arabs used to do this. But she was one woman who came up and said, this can't be right. I'm sorry. I'm not going to accept it. It's just not right. But she complains to Allah. So look what he says. It's really amazing. Alladina, and he in one sentence, it's killed. She's changed the law. Alladina yuzahiruna minkum min nisaihim. Those of you, now your translation may say, you've put them behind your backs. Basically it says, those of you who treat your, who told your wives that they're like their mothers, mahunna ummahatihim. Simple. They are not your mothers. It's one sentence, three words that actually just killed everything. Mahunna ummahatihim. They're not your mothers. In ummahatuhum, indeed your mothers, illa la'i. Waladnahum, your mothers are only those who gave birth to you. So don't sit there and make all these excuses. Wa innahum layakuluna, and what they say is munkaran. You know, it's hateful. You know what munkar is, right? Nahiyanil munkar, keeping away from that which is hateful. It is hateful. And min al qawli wazura, and it is a false statement. It's a false accusation. It is not true what you're saying. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَعَفُوٌ غَفُورٌ. But Allah pardons and He is Ghafoor. Whatever you are doing, you just cannot do that. Your mother will always remember be your mother. You can't make anybody else your mother. So anybody who's a little bit feels a little bit insecure that somebody else is their mother, they're never going to be their mothers. Okay? Mother-in-laws get very insecure about wives taking over. Please don't. She can't. She'll never be his mother. Even if she likes him, she tries. Okay? You will always be the mother. You'll always be the mother. And Jannah will always be under your feet. So don't worry. It's not going to change. Now, for some, that's a bit negative. But hey, that's the way it goes. Okay? Then now he says, here you go. Now what do you do? I've understood now that they can't be my mothers. What I did was absolutely wrong. It wasn't right at all. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ. So, if you can't do it, what do you do? Ayah 3. وَالَّذِينَ يُذَاهِرُونَ مِنْ نِسَائِهِمْ. So, those of you who did this to your wives, وَالَّذِينَ يُذَاهِرُونَ. ثُمَّ, then, يَعُودُونَ. Then you retracted what you said. You came back. You went back to what you said. Now, what do I have to do? I made a gross error. I was really bad. I now understood that she can never be my mother. So ثُمَّ يَعُودُونَ لِمَا قَالُوا. That means you took back your statement. You retracted your statement. What should you do? Okay. He says, فَتَحْرِيرُ رَقَبَةٍ. You have to free somebody who is captive. Whether they are captive in debt, you have to free a slave. مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَتَمَاسَّ. Before you can have any relationship with her, before you can touch her, you have to free a slave. ذَلِكُمْ تُعَذُونَ بِهِ. That is what, you know what maw'idha is? It's a counsel. Maw'idha is an advice. That is what you're advised to do. Wallahu bima ta'maluna khabir. And Allah knows, He is aware of everything. So we started off, and we're going to come to ayah 4 in a minute. We started off by seeing that there's this person who's telling his wife, you're like my mother, you're not free to go, but I'm not going to have any relationships with you. I'm going to treat you, you know, treat you completely, it's going to be irrelevant, no relationship with you, but you're still going to work for me, in other words. And Allah says that's never going to happen. That's just not going to happen. Now, he can't afford a slave because he just can't afford it. So Allah says, فَمَنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ. If you cannot manage that, فَسِيَامُ شَهَرَيْنِ مُتَطَابِئَيْنِ. Then you will fast 2 months without a break. So I can't manage to free a slave because it's too expensive. So you will fast for 2 months without a break. مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَتَمَاسَ. Before you have any relationships. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطِعْ. And then if you can't even do that, can't even fast one besides Ramadan, okay? You can't do that. فَإِطْعَامُ سِتِّينَ مِسْكِينًا. Then you will feed 60 people. And look at his rahmaniyat. He doesn't say 60 people at once. He doesn't say 60 people now. He says 60 people. Just have to keep it in your head that you will feed 60 people. It's just amazing. Why? ذَلِكَ لِتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Because you believe in Allah and His Messenger. وَتِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ. And that is the limits of Allah. وَلِلْكَافِرِينَ أَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ. And those who cover up the truth, there's a painful punishment. The reason for this is not just that because Allah wanted some slave or wanted me to fast or wanted me to feed 60 people or whatever that might be. Because this is not aimed at kafirs. This is a madani surah. It's aimed at mu'mineen. So it's trying to tell you and me that what you have done is so gross, it's so hateful, it's so intense, where you've hurt another human being, that you need to be able to have some sort of, I wouldn't call it punishment, but something that you have to do, which will remind you all the time that what you did was wrong. Very often people ask, why do I have to recite 100 times salams and 100 times la'ana and ziyarat al-ashura? Why can't I just do it once? It's the same thing. The more you recite it, the more you get closer to Abu Abdullah, and the more you run away from those who did zulm. It's exactly the same thing. The kafara, as I want to call it, if I may use that word, the kafara for saying such hateful things, it's so much that for you and me, it's like shakes us and says, I'm never going to say such hateful things again. That's ayah 1 to 4. Okay? So that was section 1, and I labeled that zihar is condemned when a man rejects his wife by saying that she's like his mother. Section 2, ayah 5 and 6. Now this is consequences of opposing Allah and His Messenger. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ, indeed those, يُحَادُونَ اللَّهَ, who oppose Allah, وَرَسُولِهِ, or in other words, who resist Allah and His Messenger, قُبِتُ. قُبِتُ is humiliated. قُبِتُ كَمَا قُبِتَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. We will humiliate them like we humiliated others before them. You've only got to use at Karbala. Karbala has just gone past. So we only have to look at those who sat on thrones like Yazid or Ibn Ziyad. Or look at all of them. I was actually talking about them. He says, Kubitu, they will be humiliated. Kama kubita alladhina min qablihim. وَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ. And we have already sent you clear proofs that are so clear. وَلِلْكَافِرِينَ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. And again, huna is to humiliate. Another word, those who cover up the truth will be humiliated. This is literally looking at Karbala. If you look at Yazid, you can Ibn Ziyad, this ayah will tell you about it. And then it leads to the next ayah, يَوْمَ يَبْعَثُهُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا, the day when everybody will be raised together. فَيُنَبِّئُهُمْ, you know Surah An-Naba news, and then they will be told, بِمَا عَمِلِي, what they did. أَحْسَاهُ اللَّهُ, أَحْسَاهُ اللَّهُ, أَحْسَى means an absolutely precise count. You know, you can't, it's those stats or statistics that you cannot deny. It's like a computer. I would actually say computing, right? You all know, وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُقْصُوهَا. If you were to count the blessings of Allah, you would not be able to compute them. So I will replace that and say, Allah has total, like he can compute everything. وَالنَّسُوهُ, but you have forgotten. What you said, he remembers, he has an account of, but you forgot. Wallahu ala kulli shayin shahid. And Allah is a witness to everything. That is why the reason to go back in your archives, in your head, and look at everything that you may have forgotten, that you need to put right. Right, next section. That's ayah 7 to 11. Now this is secrets, etiquettes of a meeting, manners of a majlis. And I think this was written for Kojas, like for me, okay? Like literally for me. All right, now he starts off by saying, أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Do you not see, don't you already know, that Allah knows whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth? So he's first asking me a question. Do you believe? Do you agree? Do you not already know that he knows everything? And I suppose the answer would be yes, na'am, I know. I know you know everything. So now he's saying, مَا يَكُونُ مِن نَجْوَى. There is not, Najwa is a secret, and we'll talk about the difference between Najwa and Shura. There is no secret between ثَلَاثَةٍ, three people, إِلَّا هُوَ رَابِعُهُمْ, that he is the fourth. وَلَا خَمْسَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ سَادِسُهُمْ, or there are five, and that he is the sixth one. وَلَا عَدْنَى مِن ذَلِكَ. So he's saying, nor any lesser number than that. وَلَا أَكْثَرَ إِلَّا هُوَ مَعْهُمْ. وَلَا أَكْثَرَ, and no greater amount. إِلَّا هُوَ مَعْهُمْ أَيْنَ مَا كَانُوا. He is wherever they may be. There is no place without him. ثُمَّ يُنَبِّئُهُمْ بِمَا عَمِلُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. He will inform you of what you did, of what they did on the day of Qiyamah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. And he knows everything. Absolutely everything. Alright, so let's have a little bit of a talk about Najwa and Shura. So Shura is where you have a meeting. There's a surah of Quran, surah number 42 is surah Shura, right? So in that meeting, everybody has an opportunity to voice their opinion. They're able to say something. It's productive. Everybody listens to everything. Everybody knows what the agenda is. And everyone's on an equal footing. Everybody says whatever they want to. It's a meeting that's allowed. Nobody's taken to task for anything. Najwa, and I'm going to give an example. Say, for example, we had a workshop meeting. And then as soon as the meeting finished, and if we had a physical meeting, then you went out and you had a small group near the bathroom and you went choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo. And you said, oh, she should have said that and she shouldn't have said this and she shouldn't have said this. And then that group increases. You know, you see people standing in the corner. As you pass by, they keep quiet, right? That's Najwa. And then they come back to the meeting after lunch if it's there, and then they're all chickens, so one of them may say, well, we all thought this. But when they had an opportunity to say something, they didn't. Or when you invite them to a meeting, they do not come, but then from behind there is a lot of they should have done this and they should have done that. That is what Najwa is. It's sort of a select group that sort of gets together and then attacks the Shura. That's Najwa. Okay? So it wants to dismantle the group. It wants to break things up. And that's their core intention. The start of this small like that Yeah, I heard that. So this small, small stuff, okay? And the linguistic meaning of najwa is to escape a larger group and hold a private meeting. That is why, you know what munajat is, right? Munajat is a secret conversation. It comes from the same word. As Khojas, we recite it on the microphone. But munajat are supposed to be your secret with someone. So you know the beautiful munajat that we recite after Salatul Layl. Unajika ya mawjudu fi kulli makan. I wish to have a secret conversation with he who is present in every place. Just associate that with this ayah, okay? All right, now what does he say? So we've got a little bit of understanding of what that is. So we're now going to look at ayah 8. Alam tara ila alladhina nahu anin najwa. Didn't you see those who were forbidden, nuhu, who were refused, who were forbidden to form these najwas? Didn't you see them? They were told, this is not the way to behave. If you want to say something, say it in public. Say it at the meeting. Thumma ya'uduna lima nuhu anhu. But they went back from what they were not supposed to do. They were forbidden, but they went back to doing it. Anhu. Wa yatanajawna bil ithmi wal udwan. So what happened was, this secret council, this najwa, became ithm, became a sin, and became a reason for animosity. So this choo-choo-choo-choo started animosity. I continually say that when we even say, oh, the meeting was great, but the moment you say but, it's a najwa. And then you say, but what did you mean by the but? And they say, well, I'm not telling you. Just be careful. That's it. You've put in the mind of someone, and maybe the most recent thing in that we find online, I don't know whether you go to see reviews on Amazon or whatever you buy your stuff from. And you look at reviews, and there might be thousands of reviews, and they may be good, but then there will be one or two which are really bad, which are really from the company that is sort of in competition with that company. And you look at them and you think, that's najwa. And they don't put a name because it's John Doe or John Smith or I don't know, whatever. There's nobody there you can get back to. And they, you know, it's crazy. So this literally is telling me you were told not to have secret councils, yet you went back to it. And look what it did. It ended up into sin and transgression, right? And وَمَعْصِيَةِ الرَّسُولِ. And you disobeyed the Prophet. He told you not to do this. He invited you to a meeting. He told you to talk, but you didn't want to. You wanted to have your secret meetings. And then, وَإِذَا جَاءُوكَ. And when they come to you, O Prophet, حَيَّوكَ بِمَا لَمْ يُحَيِّكَ بِهِ اللَّهِ. They greet you in a greeting that Allah has not said this is a greeting that you should use. So, they greet you with something that Allah did not greet you with. Now, if you look at an enlightened commentary online, it's online. I think it's done by a group of Iranian scholars. They quote something where they say that narrated by Aisha, and she says that they used to come to the Prophet, and instead of saying Assalamu alaikum, under their breath they would say Assalamu alaikum, which means may death and weariness and reproach be on you. May you die. So they would mutter under their breath. And she used to say, Ya Rasulullah, look what they're doing. And he would say, it's okay. He would tell them, same to you. You know, whatever they're saying, if they're saying, go back to you, right? When you, tahiyya, you know, tahiyyata is to greet someone. It means when I say assalamu alaikum, I am praying for their health and their life. Yet they were doing exactly the opposite. So Allah is telling him, that when they come to you, they don't greet you the way they're supposed to, the way Allah said. And remember, I repeat again, these are not kafirun, these are Muslims. They greet you in a different way. وَيَكُولُونَ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. And in their souls, they say, لَوْلَا يُعَذِّبُنَ اللَّهُ بِمَا نَكُولُ. I mean, we said these things. Why isn't Allah sending us a thunderstorm from above? Or why isn't he doing anything to us? We can't be that wrong. Otherwise, if Allah loved him, he would just strike us down. See their philosophy. It's just like Umar ibn Sa'd. Umar ibn Sa'd is a very, very clever human being. So in Karbala, he's thinking, I want the governorship of Ray. And the only way I can get this is if I kill Hussein. And then in his head, he's thinking that Allah is Ghafur al-Rahim. Even if I do kill Hussein, he will forgive me. This is exactly the same thinking. So they're thinking, if we did anything wrong, nothing's happened to us. We're fine. No illness has struck us. Nothing is going wrong with us. So we'll all see okay. In themselves, they're saying, Bima Nakul. And Allah is saying, Hasbuhum Jahannam. Jahannam is enough for them. Yaslawnaha. They will be thrown into it. That shows you how much he loved his prophet. فَبِعْسَ الْمَصِيرِ. It is an awful place to return to. Masir is to return to. So they in their heads are thinking, we've got away with it. Okay, now, this is now a statement where you and I have to say, Labbaik, or I hear. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. O you who believe. إِذَا تَنَاجَيْتُمْ. Again, Najwa. If you are having a secret meeting, فَلَا تَتَنَاجَوْا بِالْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ وَمَعْصِيَةِ الرَّسُولِ. Make sure that in your secret meeting, there is nothing that is sinful. There is nothing that will lead to hatred or nothing that will disobey the messenger. It's quite strong. I think another place that Najwa is mentioned, and I'm trying to, I think I remember it, but correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's Surah An-Nisa, and I think it's Ayah 114. Let me have a look. I might just be wrong, but I cannot think, remember that's where it is. Okay, so Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 114. La khayra fi kathirin min najwahum. There is no good in your secret plans. Illa man amara bisadaqatin, unless it is because of charity or goodness or you're reconciling two people. And if you're doing a najwa, wa man yaf'al dhalik, if you're doing it to seek Allah's pleasure, then you will have a reward. Okay, so same thing here. He says, you have to make sure it's not these three things. Watanajo, have a secret meeting. Bil bir. Now all of you have done Ayatul Bir with me. So bir. Unless you're doing this, doing a secret conversation because you want to improve in goodness. Wat taqwa. And in God consciousness. Wat taqullah. And be God conscious. Alladhi ilayhi tuhsharun. It is to him that you will be gathered. So, if you put here Surah number 4, Ayah 114, and it's quite easy to remember because 114 surahs of the Quran, that tells you what sort of secret meeting. It actually elaborates on this particular one. So we now know there is a good najwa and a bad najwa, a good secret and a bad secret. So the good secret is only when you meet with each other, where you want to help one another, improve one another. So you have a meeting where people are not allowed in. That's called a najwa. You know, when you say, this is only, and I'm going to call Shanaz, this is only for the Mayyat group only, okay? So it's only because I'm seeing you, so I'm picking on you. So if you say only for this group, but it is for a good reason, then you're okay. Otherwise, you would leave it open. Why would you leave it closed, right? So if there is a reason to hide something, then you've got issues, unless it's for goodness. So, you know, anything that will make something better is okay. Ayah 10. إِنَّمَا النَّجْوَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. And he actually makes a statement. Allah says, in most, إِنَّمَا indeed, إِنَّمَا is, you know, definitely, نَجْوَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. It is the work of shaitan. لِيَهَزُنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So that he will cause sadness. He will upset. He will upset those who believe. Secrets always make you upset. Dying to say something, especially when somebody says, I'm telling you something, but don't tell anyone. Oh my goodness, that's just, you just have to tell a child that. Have you ever tried to tell a child that? A child is very, very clear. I'm going to use the example which I use all the time. When my little ones were very little, I remember I was nursing the second one and somebody called, and that time you didn't have mobile phones, you had static phones, and she ran to answer the phone and I said, don't tell her that mommy is feeding or nursing Suhaila. Just say mommy's busy at the moment. Mommy says that she's feeding and she said that she's busy. Mommy said she's not free or order. Yeah. That's what children do, okay? And it's really good. This is exactly what it's saying. Innaman najwa min ash-shaytan. A secret, these secret counsels are from shaytan. So they can hurt those who believe. وَلَيْسَ بِضَارِهِمْ شَيْئًا. But you know what? They shouldn't be worried about it. Can you imagine going to the mosque? Just imagine, you go to the mosque and then somewhere in the corner, there are people sitting down in a circle and talking. And you're sitting next to them and they move further away from you because they don't want you to hear. Even though you're not concerned, it does hurt you. It does upset you. Why couldn't they do it somewhere where you couldn't see? This is what people used to do. That's how they used to undermine the Prophet. وَلَيْسَ بِذَارِهِمْ شَيْئًا. They shouldn't be worried. It's not going to harm them. بِذَارِهِمْ is that it's not going to harm them. إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. Except with the permission of Allah. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. You just have to trust in Allah. Total trust in Him. Don't worry if they're having secret meetings, looking at you, turning their faces, whatever they want to do. Okay? يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Or you who believe. Now, how would they stop this type of trouble? How would it be possible to stop this? Because what people used to do was, can you imagine the Prophet talking? I can just imagine because I sometimes sit on the mimbar. So if you're sitting on the mimbar and you see people in groups looking at you and talking and nudging each other, and it's awful. It's really awful. If you ever sat on a mimbar and you watched people, and you can see they're either winking at each other or nudging. Oh, I'm sleeping. My goodness, that you think you're so boring. But anyway, all that stuff, that's going on around the Prophet. So this is how Allah resolves this. He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا كِيلَ لَكُمْ. When you are told, تَفَسَّحُوا فِي الْمَجَالِسِ. Make room in your majalis. فَفْسَحُوا. Make room. Now first I'm going to tell you what happened in history, when this ayah was revealed. So the Prophet's mosque is attached to a suffa. You know the suffa? Where those who had emigrated used to sit, or those who were homeless. So if you call a homeless shelter, so they're sitting there. Now everybody's sitting on the suffa, because the moment the Prophet comes, whether it is homeless or otherwise, everybody wants to be there. So they're all sitting there. And then suddenly, the soldiers from Badr come. So these were really honored people because, I mean, they fought. They gave their lives. So they came, they greet the Prophet. He says, alaykum salam. And they all stand at the back. So they're waiting that somebody might make space. So the Prophet said, can you move? Make space for them. So people did move and make space. But then the hypocrites in Medina said, what's wrong with the Prophet? He's giving more credence to other people. He's, they started their little choo-choo-choo again. Same najwa. They said, he can't do that. They came late. If they came late, they shouldn't get a space here. I call this part social distance because he says, إِذَا كِيلَ لَهُمْ تَفَسَّهُ فِي الْمَجَالِسِ. Have social distance. فَفْسَهُ. Don't sit near each other where you can spread the virus of hate. Okay? Where you can nudge each other, where you can gossip about nothing. Have space. يَفْسَحَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Make room. وَإِذَا كِيلَ انْشُزُوا. When you are told, get up. Fun shuzu, stand up and go. So in other words, when the meeting is finished, you're not going to sit there and chat your life away. You are just going to go. If you do that, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ. Allah will raise your status because you did not gossip. Many of us sit in majalis. I'm talking about me first. We will have the majalis. And then during the tabarruk time, oh my goodness, we forget everything. So here, social distancing, no talking, straight after majlis out. And that's what's going to happen in the future opening of the mosque. You know that? If you didn't know that, I'm telling you. You're not getting any time to do manenos. You just have to get up and go. Right? That's exactly this ayah. So if anybody is contesting that, refer them to 58:11. Okay? وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْإِلْمِ. And those who have been given knowledge, darajat, they will be given a status. Wallahu bima ta'maluna khabir. And Allah knows what you do. Okay. So they will be given a status because there won't be much of this, gossiping going on. So that was 7 to 11. So I call it secrets, etiquettes of a meeting, manners of a majlis, and I actually call it social distancing. That's what I've written here, okay? No whispers, no nudging, no disrupting a majalis. And once it's finished, just leave, just go. All right, ayah 12. So now the next section is 12 and 13. So what happened was, the in thing to do was to become a Muslim in Medina. Because if you became a Muslim, then you had protection, you were recognized. It was the in thing to do. It's like being part of a massive club. So whether you were a hypocrite or not, or whether you, whoever you are, you became a Muslim. You said, I'm a Muslim. Now, the thing about being a Muslim was that you gained status if you had a photo shoot with the Prophet. So if you had a, you know, there's a Prophet and you standing, you'd frame it and put it up. Because then you'd be able to say, I am a Muslim. And under that cover, you could do a lot of things. So look what happened. Every time they would come to the Prophet and loudly they would say, Muhammad, I have to see you for a private consultation. And the moment they said that, people thought, oh my goodness, he must be somebody really great. So look what Allah says. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, oh you who believe. Idha najaytumur rasul, if you want a private conversation with the Prophet, faqaddimu bayna yaday najwakum sadaqa, before your private conversation, give a little bit of sadaqa, give a little bit of charity. ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَأَطْهَرٌ, that is better for you and it is purer for you. فَإِن لَمْ تَجِدُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ, and if you can't do it, then Allah is غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. There wasn't anything like it was an imposition. Because he says, you can't do it, that's fine. But those who wanted this photo shoot also wanted to show that we are wealthy, we have status, and we meet the Prophet. But they didn't want to part with their money either. So Imam Ali says that there is one verse in the Quran upon which only I acted. He said, I had one dinar. I converted it to 10 dirhams. Whenever I wished to meet the Prophet on his own, I would give the charity of one dirham and think I've got 10 more sessions or 9 more sessions to have. So he was the only one. So you could call it the Ali ayah if you want, right? And then Allah says, Ashfaqtum, it's really amazing. Ashfaqtum is, were you scared? Were you scared? أَن تُقَدِّمُوا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ نَجْوَاكُمْ صَدَقَاتٍ, were you scared to give charity before this private consultation? In other words, were you scared that if you gave charity, all your money would finish? Is that what you're scared of? فَإِذْ لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا, and because, since you didn't do that, وَتَعْبُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ, and Allah has excused you for not complying with it. You know what you should do? Okay, you can't do that. Then فَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةُ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةُ وَأَتِيُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Don't give charity, it's alright. But establish salah in your lives. Make sure you give zakah. In other words, make sure you're able to fulfill your obligations to humanity. And obey to the minimum. You know, ita'a and ittiba'a. We've talked about it a lot of times. Ita'a is bare minimum. Ittiba'a is complete following of the Prophet. So to the bare minimum, follow Allah and His Messenger. Wallahu khabirun bima ta'malun. And you know already that Allah knows exactly what you do. So 12 and 13 basically talks about private consultation with the Prophet. And it's got to be preceded with sadaqah. Now ayah 14 to 21. So it actually identifies hypocrisy. It says, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ تَوَلَّوْا قَوْمًا غَذِبَ اللَّهِ. Have you not seen those that turned away, that means turned away from the Prophet, and Allah is angry with them? Why? Number one. Ma hum minkum wala minhum. They are not from you and neither are they from them. I was telling a friend of mine a story about tiger pig. And I'd like to tell you so you understand this ayah more. So there was a pig who always wanted to be a tiger. So in his bedroom he had posters of tigers. He painted stripes on himself. He had false nails put in. He had false teeth put in. And he tried to talk like a tiger, tried to growl. He hated meat, but he tried to eat meat as well. Then one day he was really ready and he said, you know what, now I'm going to Tigerland. So he left Pigland and he went to Tigerland. But in Tigerland they all laughed at him because he didn't know how to be a tiger. I mean, he was a freak over there. So he tried to be a tiger, but he couldn't. He lived there for a while. They welcomed him because obviously they liked anyone to join their ranks, but he just didn't cut it. It just didn't work. So in the end, he went back to Pigland, but the pigs had moved on. So they had evolved. So he was neither from here nor was he from there. So these people tried to be Muslims, but not fully. They couldn't be here. They couldn't be there. In their hearts, they weren't. So they're neither from here or there. So just remember tiger pig, okay? And then, وَيَحْلِفُونَ عَلَى الْقَذِبِ. And they swear or they take oaths that are based on lies. وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. And it's not like they're doing it out of error. They know what they're doing. So number one, they're neither here nor there. Number two, they lie when they're saying, لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ مُحَمَّدُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. عَدَّ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا. And because of their lies, Allah has prepared for them a punishment. إِنَّهُمْ سَاءَ مَا كَانُوا يَأْمَلُونَ. Surely what they do is evil. When you lie to yourself, it's bound to be evil. You've got to be truthful to yourself. You've got to be truthful in essence. Now, what do they do with their oaths? اتخذوا, they take, أيمانهم جُنَّةً. And you'll find this in Surah Al-Munafiqun as well. فَصَدُّوا عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. So they use their oaths as a cover, as a shield. And they stop people from the way of Allah. So you see, if you say anything to them, they say they're Muslims. I would actually, in this verse, I write ISIS. Because ISIS claim to be Muslims. Their flag says, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. But there is no sign of being a Muslim. فَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. There is a humiliating punishment. Because Daesh or ISIS, whatever you call them, claim to be Muslims. And this is exactly what they did. If you tell them anything, they say, we're Muslims. We read the Quran. But in the army of Yazid, there were 140 Hafidh al-Quran. There were 140 companions of the Prophet who signed a decree that said you should kill Hussein ibn Ali. This is what this is talking about. Alright, ayah 17. لَن تُغْنِ عَنْهُمْ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادُهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا. So their wealth, and the reason why they're doing this is to protect, Allah gives the reason. And in Surah Al-Munafiqun, you will see it. The reason why they do this is to protect their wealth and their children. He said they will not benefit them. Ulaika ashabun nar, they're the companions of the fire. Hum fiha khalidun. I don't have to say too much about that. It's very clear. Now if you look at ayah 18. And this is probably something that we need to understand. Yawma yab'athuhum Allahu jamia. Allah will raise them all together. But this is really important. فَيَحْلِفُونَ لَهُ كَمَا يَحْلِفُونَ لَكُمْ. They will swear to Allah like they swore to you. That means they believe their lies so much that they will tell Allah that as well. They know He knows everything. They're well aware of all that. But they will swear just as they swore to Allah, just as they swore to you. So the Prophet's been told that. He said that's what they're going to do. They've believed themselves so much, they've told a lie so many times, that they actually believe their lie. So in other words, they've become so good at it, that they've convinced themselves. وَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ. And they actually think that they've done something. That part of the verse is saying that they believe they've done some good. عَلَى إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْكَاذِبُونَ. But they are liars. And this is the scariest part of this surah. Often we tell ourselves something so many times that we believe it. We say we are not wasting stuff. We say we are helping others. We say a lot of things, but we're hoarding, we're wasting, we're the little things. We've convinced ourselves and we make excuses for ourselves as well. I'm not even going to the month of Ramadan. I'm just saying generally. We call ourselves Husseini, all sorts of things we do. But anyway, here we go. So we tell ourselves we believe in the Quran. I'm talking about me, not about you. The Quran and the Ahlul Bayt. And they are the two I will hold on to until I meet the Prophet at Kawthar. Yet I'm not making an effort to understand the Quran or the Ahlul Bayt for that matter. So there's a lot of things that come in here. Just remember this much. فَيَحْلِفُونَ لَهُ كَمَا يَحْلِفُونَ لَكُمْ. I will swear to Allah like I swore to everybody else. I actually believe. And they will shake my shoulder before they put me in the grave. And they will say, these are your imams. And they'll come to the 10th imam and I'll say, I don't really know him. 11th? 8th? 7th? 6th? Okay. I'm going to stop here. 19. استحوذ عليهم الشيطان. Again, this is a really, really important statement. حوزة, حوزة is somebody who is a really proficient driver. And he was referred to as camels. Who is that guy who does, my husband watches this race, whatever it's called. Formula One, right? And there's that cute guy. What's his name? I don't know, whatever his name. He's cute. He's really cute. Okay. So he knows his car like the back of his hand. But in Arabia, somebody who was so in control of their animal, whether it was a horse or a camel or whatever it was, is known as, you know, it's used the word hawaza. So they're so much in control that they don't have to beat their camel or say anything. They will just grunt and their camel will know what to do. In England, you see dog walkers like that. You just have to look at a dog. The owner has to look at them and the dog sits down. And you think, how did that happen? Right? So that's istahwaza. Istahwaza alayhimu shaitan. Shaitan has got so much control over them. فَأَنْسَاهُمْ ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ. He makes them forget the dhikr of Allah. Imam Hussein used this statement when he talked to the army of Yazid, when he told them, Shaitan has overpowered you, and thus you have forgotten the remembrance of Allah. This was Surah Al-Mujadila that he used. When he first talked to the army of Yazid, he told them, إِسْتَحْوَذَ عَلَيْهِمُ الشَّيْطَانِ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ ذِكْرَ اللَّهِ. Look it up in his talks. Okay? And he says, أُولَٰئِكَ حِزْبُ الشَّيْطَانِ. They have become, he's taken so much control of them that they have become Hizb al-Shaytan. So how do I know whether I'm not part of Hizb al-Shaytan? Means I should be forcing myself to remember Allah at all times. You know, the Alhamdulillah and the Subhanallah and the Bismillah and the Astaghfirullah. Whatever we teach children in preschool or year one or infants, we've got to bring back to our lives. Allah inna Hizb al-Shaytani humul khasirun. Anybody who is in the party of Shaytan is definitely going to be a loser. And it's probably a difficult, I've flipped over it, but it's a really, really important topic in Islam. This is discussed so much because, it, like the Prophet said, like a black ant on a black rock on a black night, it just crawls into you and you forget to say Allah. You know, we say all sorts of words, Jesus Christ, and I've got nothing against Jesus, I love him to bits, but you know, to bring Ya Rabbi, to bring Astaghfirullah, to bring Inshallah, to bring Alhamdulillah, so much so that people around you use that language as well, then you know you haven't forgotten it. And slowly it comes in. Okay, that's just a top way of looking at it. Ayah 20. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحَادُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ أُولَٰئِكَ فِي الْأَذَلِّينَ. Those who oppose Allah and His Messenger, they will be humiliated, as is a statement. And look what he says. Again, this takes you back to Ashura, okay? كَتَبَ اللَّهُ الْأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي. Allah has written, it is ordained. He has said, I will win and so will my messenger. Whatever the circumstances, I will definitely win. Inna Allaha qawiyun aziz. He is strong and mighty. And I write Ashura all over this. Even if you thought they lost, even if you thought a little band of 72, 90, whatever the numbers are, against 10,000 or whatever they were lost, he says, Kataba Allahu la aghlibanna ana wa rusli. I will always win. I will always dominate, and my messenger as well. You can do what you like, but the strength and the might can only be with those who are with Allah. Apparent stuff doesn't work here. Okay. I love this ayah, by the way. So I write Karbala Ashura all over it. Now you know why I picked Mujadila first. Okay, last one. This is really cool. La tajidu kauman. You will not find a people. Yu'minuna billahi wal yawmil akhir. This is total Imam Hussein and his companions. You will not find a people who believe in Allah and the last day. Yuaduna man haddallaha wa rasulahu. Yuadu comes from wood. Wood is that selfless love. They will never love those. They will never befriend those. They will never show love to those who oppose Allah and His Messenger. This is total Karbala, okay? Walau kanu, even if they are abahum, if they are their fathers, or abnahum, or their sons, or ikhwanahum, or their brothers, or ashiratahum, or their family members. I write Ali Akbar here, because when Ali Akbar stepped on the battlefield, on one side it was his mama's family, on one side it was his baba's family. Literally, you had Yazid, who's the first cousin of his mama. And on one side, you have his father. Can you just imagine? Yet, no love. And then you see Hazrat Abbas, when Shimr comes and gives him amnesty. And says, I give you amnesty because I am related to Umm al-Baneen. He says, amnesty for the slave and not for the master? So, you know, this ayah is totally them. وَلَوْ كَانُوا أَبَاهُمْ أَوْبْنَاهُمْ أَوْإِخْوَانَهُمْ أَوْشِرَتَهُمْ. And then my favorite part, أُولَٰئِكَ كَتَبَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الْإِيمَانِ. These are the ones in whose heart iman is ingrained. You know, it's like engraved. It's just written there, okay? He's written. In other words, Allah has written faith on their hearts. So imagine your heart with that tattooed and you can't remove the tattoo. It is just phenomenal. So maybe a dua would be, make me one of those on whose hearts you engrave iman. Maybe in your musalla, in your books, you will have a red heart with Allah written on it or Hussein written on it. I don't know. Come on, you could do this. You can do this better than me. وَأَيَّدَهُمْ بِرُوحٍ مِّنْهُ. And Allah will strengthen them with an inspiration from Him. You could put a spirit with an inspiration. They're guided by Him. وَيُدْخِلُهُمْ. They will enter. جَنَّةٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِيَ الْأَنْهَارَ. I mean, this is Jannah with the rivers flowing underneath. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. They will be there forever. رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْ. Allah is pleased with them and they are pleased with Him. أُولَٰئِكَ حِزْبُ اللَّهِ. They are the party of Allah. Salman said that the Prophet put his hand on his shoulder and he said, he looked at Imam Ali and he said, Salman, this man and his party are Hizbullah. And he said, Ala inna Hizbullahi humul muflihun. It is the party of Allah that will be successful. And that's what he tells Salman. He quotes this part of this ayah. If you look at Karbala and you look at Yazid, the only reason he did what he did was he wanted to rub this out. He wanted to rub the Quran out. He wanted to rub Revelation out, rub the Ahlul Bayt out. But this is like proof that you can never rub it out. That's what's going to be successful. So Ayah 22 is Section 6. Hizbullah are successful. Mujadila is phenomenal. Just phenomenal. Even if you don't have anxiety issues or whatever you have, once in a while, read it on water. It's only 22 ayats. And put it for your children to drink, for your family to drink. It has an amazing effect. It just calms things down. It eases any restlessness that is amongst people. Shafa for illness, all the rest of it. So that in essence is Mujadila. I love this surah. Absolutely love it. To me, this is like Karbala written all over it. Majlis, it's got hypocrisy, it's got Hizbullah. I mean, what else doesn't it have? Look, you could call it the Karbala surah if you want. Okay, there's zihar there. It's neither here nor there, to be very honest. Because that law was changed completely.